my victory.
Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to me. 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 Victory belongs to Jesus.
Victory belongs to him. Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to me. Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to him. Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to him. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All the victory belongs to you. Yes. You did the right things to win so that you can pass that great grace of victory to us. Tonight we align ourselves to you, to your winning ways, to your victorious ways, so that, Lord, oh God, we can have a turnaround experience. We give you praise, oh God. The victory is ours in Christ Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I want to welcome you all to this very special time. You may be seated. God has sentenced us to a life of victory. Amen? Hallelujah. There is no way we're going to lose. Praise God. You know, the word of God is so clear. In Romans, the 8th chapter, God tells us about the victory that we have. The last 8 or so verses in the book of Romans, Paul talks about the life of the believer, the crisis that the believer goes through. But in spite of all of those things, God makes us more than conquerors. Amen? Let me start with that tonight from the book of Romans, the 8th chapter. We are going to continue with the book of Esther, of course. I like the verse that is up there. It says, moreover, whom he did predestinate. You know, when I'm trying to get to a place that I don't know, I punch on my GPS. And the GPS address becomes the point of focus of that particular unit. But the thing about predestinating is that when you put those markers in, the vehicle needs to go in that particular direction if it is autopiloted, or you have to listen to the instructions and follow the instructions to get you to the place of predestination. Is that clear enough? Yeah? Okay. That's why we use GPS. In warfare, you use a GPS system. If you don't want to blow up everything, you target where you want your missile to go to, and by targeting it and by punching the coordinates, you're predestinating it. There is a destination that you want it to get to, and so you pre-program it so that it can get to that destination. Praise the Lord. Well, God predestinated us. When he predestined us, he called us. He called us to a life of fruitfulness. He called us to a life of good success, victory. He says, you've not chosen me, but I chose you and I called you, ordaining you to be fruitful, and that your fruit abides. Those he predestined, he called, and those he called, he justified. He sanctified them, justified them, and then it says, them he also glorified. So those he predestined, he glorified. Do you see that? He predestined and he glorified. So the glory that is necessary for you to fulfill your destiny, he gives to you. Oh, I don't know if you're getting this. A young man has been writing to me, and he says, I want you to be my spiritual father. I've been praying, and God said that you are supposed to be my spiritual father. And I kept him at bay for a while, and then I responded, and he said something like this to me. He said, I have a burden to start a church at a particular place in this particular country. So I wrote back to him. I said, God says, cast your burdens unto me. If God wants you to do something, he doesn't weigh you down with burdens. He weighs you down with his glory. The weight of his glory comes upon you, and the weight of grace comes upon you so that you can fulfill that particular desire. And when God calls us predestined, he gives us the glory to accomplish whatever it is that we need to accomplish. The glory of God is the fullness of God's empowerment. Hello? Them he called. Them he justified. them he glorified. Now, when you think about justification, think about lines, boundaries. Justification is not just God cleansing you. It is about God putting boundaries. Just like when in those old days we talk about, when we're typing, you talk about justification. You talk about whether you've justified your lines, your boundaries, so that when that typewriter gets to that particular point, it swings to the new beginning. When you're typing on your iPhone, there is a justification that's already put in place so that if the letter gets too long, it moves the whole back. Are you with me so far? Okay. So when we're talking about God predestining us, we're talking about a God who has set in place the lines of justification, but he does not, are you with me? He does not rob you of your will. Your will is still in full play. So when you come to the line of justification, God's warning lights come on. Don't do that. Don't do that. And like a child, you say, don't touch that. Guess what we do? Don't touch that. And that's the game we play with God. God says, don't do that. And that's exactly what we do. So that ultimately is what sin is. Resisting the will of God that he has inbuilt inside of you and I to accomplish a particular purpose. We resist the Spirit of God. We quench the Spirit of God. We grieve the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is here to help us. Bring to our remembrance that thing that God has taught us. Bring to us deeper knowledge and insight and understanding on where we ought to be and where we ought to go. So he lays that foundation and tells us, listen, you are going to arrive at your destination point. And the devil has nothing to do with this. As long as you set your heart to arrive in agreement with God, you are going to arrive. And I made a statement at the very beginning today that we've been sentenced to a life of victory. Praise God. That's it. Verse 31 goes on. It says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, because he's predestined us, he's called us, he's justified us, he's glorified us, who can be against us? Who? God is for us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? It goes on. It says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up, gave him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? All things. All things are now available to me because God already gave me the very best. Hallelujah. Everything else, if I gave you that already here, you want that? Yeah. Take that. This too. That too. Well, the way man gives is different. A man can come and give you a scholarship, you know, and pay off your school fees, but might not be very happy with you coming to ask for more than that. So, I give you this. Now you're asking for this. What else do you want? That's not God. God says, ask. He says, you don't receive because you don't ask. He says, and the thing is that when you even ask, you ask amiss. Ask wrongly. So what is it that we need to do? I need to ask God for direction and guidance on what to do, how to do it, because the victory is already ordained. But how I get from here to there, I have to cultivate a mindset, an attitude that doesn't resist the leading of the Holy Spirit, acknowledges the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and be willing to be obedient to the direction that God gives. Amen? I find that when I hit a brick wall and I'm not getting clarity, it is when I have not talked with God. The thing is, God wants you to talk to Him about everything, no matter how big or small it is. Just talk with me. He's more interested in a relationship with you, not because He needs it, but because you and I need it, than answering your prayer. Oh. Maybe that went over your head. God is more interested in building a relationship with you than answering your prayer. So He will say no deliberately or block you deliberately, because what's more important is that relationship. Because when you have that relationship with Him, then He brings you to the place where the Lord Jesus Christ says, you're not going to have to ask me anything, because you can now ask the Father and He will do it for you. You don't. It's in the Word. Jesus came to make certain, our Lord Jesus Christ came to make certain that we have a personal relationship with the Father. He is satisfied with Himself. He doesn't even need me praising Him for Him to feel important. Praising Him only brings me to a place of relationship. And as I relate with Him, birds of the same feather flock together. We begin to flock with Him. And the grace of God begins to rest upon us. And that which He has begins to become my experience. And that experience is the experience of victory and no failure. Praise the Lord. So that's what I need to buy into. The grace of God that empowers me to walk in divine victory at all times, at my workplace, in my home, wherever it is. And understand this, that victory comes because you have battles. Yeah? God is not saying you're not going to have battles. He's saying you're going to have victory over those battles. Praise God. He's going to say, got your back. And whatever it is that is trying to mess with you, I'm going to mess with it. And by the time this whole thing is finished, your mess will become a message. Hallelujah. I got a story to tell. It's called a testimony. Praise God. People who don't have testimonies have never experienced battles. But if you've not experienced a battle, then you must not be of God. Because if you're of God, you've got a real enemy who wants to take you out. Many years ago, I don't know why the Lord wants me to say this, but let me say it. Many years ago, I was teaching on the principles of spiritual warfare And one of the key cardinal points that I made in that discourse was this, that you never allow the enemy to come to your turf to fight. Actually, we have that in play right now. Moscow is busy and the cars are driving. But those that are in Ukraine, because the battle is in their turf, their buildings are being destroyed, the infrastructure is being destroyed. I don't know who this is for. But you cannot allow the enemy to bring the fight to your turf. The Holy Spirit is a master spy. He spies the land and he knows where the enemy is coming from, what the agenda of the enemy is, so that you can take the fight to the territory of the enemy so that he doesn't land in your territory. Oh, he said, oh, I had a nightmare. No, you didn't have a nightmare. You had information transfer. You had information transfer. The Lord just showed you what the enemy is trying to target. So now you lob the missile to make sure that that enemy that wants to do whatever does not even get to the place where they get to do it. Praise the Lord. That is fundamental. I have used that principle so many times as a pastor. There's so many things that could have happened in this church that would have just messed this whole ministry up. But before it happened, I have already lobbed the missile, blown up the system. And when whoever or whatever the enemy tried to take action, he found out that what he had was a dud. How did that happen? I'm not you going to allow you to bring the fight into my territory. I'm going to lobby it to you because I already know what you're going to do before you started. Hello? So it's not a nightmare. It's information transfer. God is downloading data to you so that you can have a predestination. Glory be to God. These are factors of victory. Praise God. He, God, who gave us his Son, won't he with him also give us every other thing free? The next verse says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? In other words, who's going to bring an accusation? It is God that justified. So before you bring your accusation, I've already justified. I've put him in line. Whether that is by disciplining him or her. So now whatever it is that you're going to say, we've taken care of that. It's God that justified. Next verse. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. And this next month, we are going to talk about the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. And isn't it interesting that it's called the passion? Because it's all about the love of God. Yea, rather that is reason again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So we've got somebody who is at the right hand of God and who is making intercession, interceding. When you're talking about intercession or interceding, you are having somebody who is breaking right in front of you to deal with the blows that are coming. That's intercession. You get the point? So we have a Lord who is interceding for us, who's helping us. And the right thing to see here is this, that when he rose again from the dead, we also rose with him. Yeah? And we are also seated at the right hand of the Father. Yes? So if we are in him and at the right hand of the Father, our prayers are all local. It's not a long distance call. When you're making a local call, you don't have to pay for it. Long distance, you have to pay. Well, you're having a discussion. I know your mind is going somewhere else. Well, I paid for the use of the phone. I could forget that. Anyway. We've got a Lord who is interceding for us. And because we are in him, with him, seated with him, we are in heavenly places far above. Praise God. Far above principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. So all of the lobbying of the enemy doesn't hit target. Because we are far above. Hello? We are what? Far above. The enemy may be strategizing, but you've got to know for yourself, as a man thinketh, so is he. You've got to know for yourself that God has not given you the spirit of what? But the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Yeah? So you've got his power. You've got his love, and you've got a sound, mature, disciplined mind, and that mind is the mind of Christ. So there's no way for us to lose. So victory is established already. Praise God. Let's get closer. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Huh. That's what he's given to us. Who's going to separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Why is it mentioning all of these things? Because those things are real stuff. That means you're going to go through tribulation. You're going to experience distress. You're going to experience persecution. You're going to experience famine. There's going to be nakedness. There's going to be peril. There's going to be the sword. But he's saying none of that has the capacity to separate us from the love of Christ. The love of the anointed one. When you have God, it does not matter what happens to you. Your love of God keeps you steady. Amen? You may lose a loved one, but you stay steady. Because you know the plan of the enemy that brought about that loss His agenda is to make sure that you don't love God. If you are saved and you have a relationship with God, nothing separates you from God. Nothing. COVID can come and go, but you're steadfast. You don't say, well, I'm not going to go to church today because blah, 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 blah. Do you know how many people are not in church because there was COVID? Do you know how many people are not going to be in church because the gas price is so high? Huh? If you can be separated from God because of natural circumstances, you've got an issue. Now, I'm not saying that being in church physically is the only act of you saying you love God, but it's a very important part, because the Word of God says, do not neglect the gathering, the assembling of the saints together, especially since the end is so near. This is the time that we need to be focused. Have victory over whatever wants to separate you from the love of God, from you relating with God. Oh, you know, this inflation that is going on, I better cut down on my giving. You got issues. Because you still don't understand that you've got a God who takes 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feeds the multitude. You are still living in the flesh and not seeing the supernatural realm. That's a supernatural realm. You don't make decisions when it concerns your relationship with God based on natural experiences. You determine in yourself, this is what God says I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. This is where I'm going. And you go there. How many times have I seen people who say, I don't have money to give. But if your child is sick, you will break the bank, borrow anything that you can borrow to make sure that that child lives. Is that not true? But if it has anything to do with God, well, let's rethink this. No, no. You set your mind, because you see, the reason you're doing everything to make sure that that child lives is because you love that child. And when you love God, you do everything that you can do to make sure that you honor Him, that you worship Him, that you adore Him. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm saying having victory over whatever wants to separate you from the fullness of what God has for you. That's part of it. Take on that challenge. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now see what the next verse says. It says, as it is written, for thy sake, watch these words now. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are what? Accounted as sheep for the slaughter. If we are killed all the day long, what is the accounting? The idea is this, that the enemy is going to keep on saying, I kill you, I kill you, I kill you. Don't worry about the threatening of the enemy. You are counted as sheep for the slaughter, but watch in the next verse. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Hallelujah. The enemy is speaking whatever he's speaking and accounting you to be defeated. He says, but in spite of all of that, you are more than conquerors. Praise God. More than conquerors through Him that loved us. And verse 38 says, "For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come that you've never experienced before, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing. Hallelujah. Nothing can separate you. Why? You've been predestined. You've been predestined. You've been pre-programmed, so to speak, to arrive at the destination point. The enemy can try, but you're going to arrive. Hallelujah. Praise God. So it was with Esther and Mordecai and the people of Israel, the Jewish people. God had declared, "I'm going to have war against Amalek, valley life living, from generation to generation to generation to generation to generation to generation." So what do I say? I say, I am not going to live by sight. I'm going to live by every word that God has declared. My child may be doing badly right now, but I know where God says he's going to end up, on top and not beneath. So therefore, I'm not going to worry about it. He says, "Cast all of your burdens and your cares upon me." God said that I will be saved and my household. And if that's true, and I believe what God says, then that's the end result. Whatever it is that's happening between here and the end, it's not my concern. I just know that it is going to arrive. You get the point? Whatever it is that's happening right now is immaterial to the fact. When the story is finally told, it will be said that he arrived where God said he's going to arrive at, because God predestined, God called, God justified, God glorified. So what does that mean? It means I rest. Many years ago, when I became a believer, my dad was very ill, and I was just saved and actually spent most of my time in the church. I slept in church. From living a sinful life, it was a total flip. I wasn't out there running around, you know, wanting to booze and whatever else. I was in church. I was in church for 3 days and straight. I didn't come home. And when I came home, my dad was very upset. "I could have died and you were not here. You were in that church sleeping. Spending all your time in that church." And the pastor, my pastor then, you got to see him this last year. He said to my dad, "I won't be so hard on this young man. My dad says, why? He says, understanding him, when he prayed for you, and he went and stayed in church and didn't come back, it was because he knew nothing was going to happen to you. It was settled. My dad looked at me, stared at me. Okay, I think I see that. When you pray, you got to believe that it is finished, it is done. Don't do what I almost did many years ago. I planted some carrots just outside our patio when we're living in the co-op. And a week, nothing. 2 weeks, nothing. I was getting frustrated. I wanted to go dig the whole thing up. And someone said, just hold on. So one day I looked and I saw some green stuff. I thought maybe it was grass trying to grow in there, but it wasn't. It was the carrots beginning to pop. Too many times we dig up our prayers. And when you dig it up before resting in knowing that if we pray concerning anything, we know that he hears us. He heard you. So let it be. He heard you. Stop trying to find another alternative. When you start finding other alternatives, God will let you alone to keep on searching until you settle it. I searched all over. Couldn't find nobody. Huh? Just chill. He knew about the problem before you got there. Amen? He knew about it. So why are you worrying? Relax. Instead of worrying, begin to give him praise, worship, and adoration. And secondly, ask him, God, I have asked you about this. Is there something you want me to do? Is there something you want me to do? Is there something you want me to put in place? Because you got to position yourself. In the book of Esther, Mordecai comes to Esther and Mordecai gives her word through emissaries about what Haman had planned, how Haman wanted to destroy all of them. And Esther says, you know that I cannot just show up before the king just because I want to show up. If I just show up, I could lose my head. So Mordecai sent word back to her. He says, is it possible that God has set you up in this high position of authority for such a time as this? And she considered that counsel and she sent word back and said to Mordecai, get the people to begin to fast and pray for 3 days. 3 days from now, I'm going to present myself to the king. I know I'm not invited, but I'm going to present myself to the king. So Mordecai sent word out, and people began to pray. She said, I'm going to show up, and if I perish, I perish. But I'm going to go full steam ahead about this situation. So chapter 5 of Esther, and verse 1, it says, Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her what? Her royal apparel, and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house. In other words, she positioned herself strategically. She dressed up herself as queen. She knew what times the king will go up there and position himself. And she stood in the right place, positioning. And the king sat upon his royal throne on the royal house over against the gate of the house. So there she was, her fine self. King is over there. King sees her. She's already told Mordecai, the king has not called for me for a while now. But she positioned herself. She didn't go before him. She just positioned herself so that he can see her. And the king says, come, come. So she goes close. The king puts out his scepter, and she puts her hand on the scepter. And the king says, I'll give you anything, even up to half of the kingdom, my kingdom. You get half of it, I get half of it. Remember what we learned about Ahasuerus, that he was a very generous man. And Esther says, yeah, what I really like is I would like to have a banquet. But in this banquet, I know you like to have all kinds of people. I just want Haman and you at this banquet. That's all you want? Yeah. So word is sent to Haman. Haman, the king says, make haste and cause Haman to come. So I don't know if you noticed in this particular passage of Scripture that the word haste is being used over and over and over again. And I think it is for a reason, that God wants to hasten things. Amen. Hallelujah. So I want you to position yourself to receive the graces of God that God wants to release into your life, and it is going to haste. It's going to come speedily. Amen? Amen? Praise God. So word is sent to Haman, and Haman comes, and he is so thrilled that not only has he been honored with all of the stuff that he has experienced, but this is happening for him. He comes, they had a great party, and the king says, now tell me what you want. You've given me a party. I like everything here, but what do you want? I told you I'll give you half of the kingdom if you want it. She says, no, no. What I really want is that I throw another party for you and Haman again tomorrow. Smart. Now, this is a dangerous game, because remember, Ahasuerus has gone through his Vashti experience. And now he's got Esther, which means star, and she's busy inviting another guy. to a party. Day one. And day two, if he was a jealous man, he says, what is going on between this man and this woman? What is going on? But he's not that kind of a man. He's fulfilled in himself. He says, if that's what you want, sure, let's do that. So, the man, Haman, is excited about all of this. He's happy, and he is heading out. He's filled with great joy. And then he sees Mordecai, and all his joy emptied out. He's indignant, he's upset, but he controls himself. He doesn't show it, but he's boiling mad. And he goes home and talks to his wife, Zeresh, and says to Zeresh, look, I'm having a wonderful experience, and the queen loves me, the king loves me, the true party just for two of us. Can you imagine? But he didn't know that God had an agenda. And Esther had an agenda. So what was the agenda? Well, it was a turnaround agenda. Esther is an orphan girl, and God wants her elevated to a seat of honor. He's accomplished that. But so also did God want to elevate Mordecai. And God was working on that. Esther didn't know it, that this was all set up. And while God was trying to elevate Mordecai, God also wanted to elevate the Jews to a seat of honor. Because this whole passage of Scripture, this entire book, is about the turnaround. Because God wants to reinstate and bring about restoration. But it doesn't seem to be working the way we want it. And that's how life goes. And that's why you must never overwhelm your life with the lies that you hear in valley experiences. You know, even when you look at the stock market, it beeps like this. True? And if you're a quitter, you quit because the market went down. But if you stay the course, you end up having more. Is that not true? Even you, if I hook you up right now to a system that will tell us about your heart and what's happening with your heart, it has those beeps. True? And if it flatlines, we say dead. Life is about ups and downs, folks. The guy is upset, goes home, and the wife says to him, listen, you got to build some gallows. You got to hang this guy. Get rid of him. So while they made that decision, the Bible tells us that while he decided on building the gallows and they began to build it, at that time, message came from the queen that the banquet was ready. And so he heads back. And when he's heading back for this particular experience on the second day, God had already intervened. Because the night before, that second banquet day, God caused Ahasuerus to be restless, couldn't sleep. And now he had to read all this stuff, and he's reading from the records of the Chronicles, and he finds out that Mordecai had done something very important for him, caused him not to be assassinated. So while Mr. is heading in, he's called in, and I told you the story yesterday on how he thought he was going to get the robe, the nice limo, and the crown. But it ended up being what was bestowed on Mordecai. But he prophesied it out of his mouth. And he said something to us yesterday, that God will cause the devil to do his bidding. I don't know if you get that. Things are going to come into your hands that the enemy did not want to come into your hands, but is now forced to do it. Praise God. Hallelujah. The blessing is going to come into your life, and the enemy cannot stop it. The promotion is going to come into your life, and the enemy cannot stop it. Praise the Lord. The devil is done. When it comes to your life, victory is all you will experience. God has not planned any bad days for you. Amen? That's why his word says it causes all things to work together for your good. It causes all things to work together for my good. Praise the Lord. So, second day, he's going to go in for that party. But something had happened. He's now commissioned to honor Mordecai. And he did that, and he raced back home. And tells his wife what had happened. And this was a prophetic declaration from the wife. Praise the Lord. The wife says, I think your goose is cooked. What do you mean? If this guy is a Jew, you're not going to prevail. Look at it. And Haman told Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends everything that had befallen him. Then said his wise men and Zeresh his wife unto him, if Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews, before whom thou hast begun to fall, your falling has started, man. Thou shalt not prevail against him, but shall surely fall before him. I declare by the authority of the word of God that this particular statement be enacted again and again, be manifested again and again, but not because you're a Jew, but because you're a son of the Most High God. That the enemy that has targeted you will only fall before you, no matter how great they might be. The only place for them to go is down. In the mighty name of Jesus. It is a declaration. And today, on the feast of Purim, we are making that same declaration, that as it was then, so shall it be now. The enemy of your soul must collapse before you. They are already prophesying it. Hallelujah. So did they about Gideon. Oh, this dream that you had, that's nothing else but the sword of Gideon. Gideon is going to wipe us all out. And he did. Let the enemy begin to confess his demise because of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So the gallows are built. He is upset. Things are going against him. It's just one thing. But the process has already started. And the statement is, before whom thou hast begun to fall. It just takes the beginning. The enemy may be winning and winning and winning, and it just takes one moment. And the story changes. I don't care how many battles you've lost, or seemingly it seems like you lost before this moment. There is a reversal. Praise the Lord. There is a reversal. You are not going to go round and around and around and around and around and around and around. No, this is a complete U-turn. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He says, thou shalt not prevail against them. Satan is not going to prevail against you. It's not going to prevail against me. It's not going to prevail against my finances, my relationships, my marriage, my family, nor your family. He's not going to prevail over his church, this church. No, there is no prevailing for the enemy. The prevailing is ours. We prevail. Praise God. I'm going to share some things with you that we're going to do tonight. I'm going to give you certain instructions in just a moment. So he goes to the party. King says to the wife, I told you I'm going to give you half of the kingdom. What? And she says, nothing. Chapter 7. I'm going to look at verse 9 and 10. She says, let me go before that. She says to him, first of all, just leave it there. I'll come to that. If I've found favor in your sight, King, there is an assignment, an agenda against me and my people. We've been sold. And the enemy wants us all wiped out. The king says, what? There is somebody that wants to kill you and your family members? She said, yes. Who is it? She says, right there, Haman. Huh? The one that you've been throwing a party for? You know, I learned something many years ago. By chance, that the quickest way to flush out your enemy is to be a blessing to them. The Lord says, bless them that despitefully use you. You want to flush out your enemy, bless them. Speak a word of blessing to them. It flushes them out quickly. It ends it. It ends it. Some time back, I said to a young man, I said, oh, doing so well. And I'm getting so much reports about how you're doing. Because God wanted at that very moment to cut it. So I said, all these nice things, and I meant it, it's coming out of a pure heart. But I also knew that God wanted to end something. So I said it. And as soon as I said it, the cut was on. Because the only way that you can shut down the enemy is to be a blessing. The Lord Jesus Christ did it this way. He said to Judas, friend. Did you hear him say that?
Yes.
My friend. Oh. That's when the enemy thinks that he's got you, but no. You see, you didn't grab him here in the elbow. When you grab the enemy, your enemy in the elbow, all they need to do is stretch out and they're gone. You grab them here. Capish? And the way you grab them here is to stretch the hand of comfort, of healing, and blessing. And when you do that, God honors you for a right approach and shuts and cuts off the enemy, just like that. Clean cut. Gone. It's a principle. Note it. If you want victory over the enemy, learn how to be a blessing. Do good. Is that not what the Lord said? Do good to them that despitefully use you. Somebody might think, oh, that is foolish. You know what that guy did? Why are you doing that? No, I'm winning. Praise God. I'm winning. I'm in this to win. So the king is upset, steps out, comes back, and Haman is at the bed where Esther is lying, and he double flips. Now you want to come, you want to kill her? Now in my own house, you want to rape her? Oh no, you're done. So he says, who's here? A guy called Habona comes. Habona says, I'm here. But you know what, King? The guy has gallows over at his house. Gallows. For what? To hang Mordecai. You mean this Mordecai that saved me, has been a blessing to me, this guy wants to kill that one too? Take him to those gallows that he put in place. When he was busy building those gallows, he thought he was building it for Mordecai. He didn't know he was building it for himself. When he was busy building or digging that hole, he didn't know he was digging it for himself. That's why you must never be afraid of what the enemy is strategizing on, because it's for him. You are far above. Hello? He's digging it for himself. He's planning it for himself. You are far above. Just rest in the goodness of God. The victory is yours already. Celebrate the goodness of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Let us wrap this up. I love chapter 8. I'll take it from verse 1 real quickly. It says, on that day did the king Ahasuerus give the house of Haman the Jews' enemy, unto Esther the queen, gave her house to the queen. And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told what he was unto her. It's my uncle. Ah, bring that man here. And the king, watch this. The king took off his ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it to Mordecai as a king. And Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. You see the flip? It's a process. It's an experience. But watch this. And Esther spake yet again before the king and fell down at his feet and besought him with tears to put away the mischief of Haman the Agagite and his device that he had devised against the Jews. 4. Then the king held out the golden scepter towards Esther. So Esther arose and stood before the king. She's rising. And said, if it please the king, and if I have found favor in his sight, and the thing seem right before the king, and I am pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to reverse the letters devised by Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, which he wrote to destroy the Jews, which are in all the king's provinces. And this is the instruction. The Lord said to me, to say to you, and to me, of course, what the agenda of the enemy is what it is. But I'm giving you the right to write down the new story of your life. Praise the Lord. God is saying to you and I, this is a blanket, a blank slate. Write. If you're wise, this is what you're going to do. Just like Esther did. I don't know what to wear. Tell me what to wear. This is what you're going to do. You're going to come to the Holy Spirit, who is your helper. And you say, Holy Spirit, I don't know much about this. What should I write? Between now and Sunday, just let the Holy Spirit speak to you about what you should write. And it may sound flamboyant and so out of this world. Just write it. Just write it. Because this is not about who you were. It's about where God is taking you to. Amen. Hallelujah. God has always used ordinary people to accomplish great things. So let God, by His Holy Spirit, in your dreams, while you are awake, have your journal, write it down. Because this is your victory march, and this is your turnaround experience. Amen? He says, watch this, let it be written to reverse the letters devised by him and the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, which he wrote to destroy the Jews, which are all in all of the king's provinces. And next verse, watch this. For how can I endure to see the evil that shall come unto my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? Verse 7. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me. Oh, no, that's not it. 8. Back to chapter 8. How did we get there? Hallelujah. Then the king Ahasuerus said unto, well, it's not bad. Fast ye for me. I need direction for what God wants for my life. Then the king Ahasuerus said unto Esther the queen and to Mordecai the Jew, watch this. Behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman. I gave it to Esther. Esther gave it to Mordecai because it is her right to give it to Mordecai. Amen? So the king did not change his statement and say, well, I've given the house to Mordecai. He said, I give it to you, Esther. When God gives you something, it is in your hands to do whatever it is you need to do with it. So she gave it to Mordecai. He says, behold, I've given the house of Haman, and him they have hanged upon the gallows because he laid his hand upon the Jews. He they're going to hang because they laid their hands on you, my son, my daughter, a Christian, an heir. Hallelujah. Who has the blessings of Abraham assigned to him. Well, watch this. Write ye also for the Jews, that is, as it liketh you, as you want. In the king's what? Name. I'm not going to write it for you, but it is going to be in my name. In my name. That means my name is backing it. And we've got a name that's above every other name. It's the name of our sovereign Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he's saying, write what you want to write. Write whatever it is you want to write. My name is backing it. Hallelujah. And I'm saying to you, he also gave us the Holy Spirit, who is supposed to be our helper. Because you don't know what to write. Go talk to the Holy Spirit. Speak in tongues and start writing. Praise God. Start writing. Because if the Holy Spirit is leading you, you're not going to go astray. Praise God. He says, in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring. For the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring may no man reverse. Hallelujah. Nobody is going to reverse it. It is done. It is finished. It is accomplished. Somebody shout hallelujah. Long story. Verse 15 says, after they had received all this instruction, he says, and Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in what? Royal apparel. The last time we read about him, he was in sackcloth. Now he's in royal apparel. He's now one that is a prince in the land. Apparel of blue and white, and with a great crown of what? Gold. A great crown of gold. This is what Haman wanted. Mordecai gets it. The story has flipped. It started out with Haman getting what Mordecai was due. Now the story is ending with Mordecai receiving everything that he is due. And everything God has for you, you will receive. The devil shall not stop it. You have been predestined, sentenced to victory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Many years ago, I was in a church on Burroughs, right there. And we're pastors there. We're going to pray together. And I prayed. And I said, thank you, Father. You have not planned any defeats for me, nor your people. When the prayer was finished, this pastor came to me and was pointing his finger. I don't like it when people like you pray that kind of a prayer. What do you mean God has not planned any defeats for you? What on earth? What is, God has not planned any defeats for me that is upsetting you that much? In my heart I said, you can take all the defeats you want, but not for me. Hallelujah. No defeats for me. Might seem like I might be struggling sometime, but at the end of the day, I'm going to be at the top of the hill. King of the hill. That's you. That's your story. Praise the Lord. That's your story. Don't let the enemy rob you of that grace. He is crowned with a great crown of gold, with a garment of fine linen and purple, and the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. When good people come into power, the people celebrate. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He wrote down everything, and partly what it was this. Whoever, because whatever has been sealed, written and sealed, could not be reversed by any man, including a king. They had decided they were going to kill the Israelites, the Jews, on a particular day. And on that particular day, anyone that showed up his head to come after the Israelites, the Jews, were killed by the Jews. And the people of God rose into places of prominence. A story that started way back with Moses that came across the table of Saul now was getting wrapped up at the time of Esther. God was saying, I told you, I'm taking a fight at that valley living. I'm going to elevate all of my children. And so he did. Esther rose up. Mordecai rose up. The Jews rose up. Every one of us will rise. Amen? Amen? Yes. You receive this word? Yes. Then rise with me. What was the assignment I gave to you? Talk to the Holy Spirit, hear from the Holy Spirit, and begin to write. It is going to be a prophetic declaration. And remember, you are going to have to enforce your rights on the enemy that wants to rob you of your rights. Praise the Lord. You're going to have to do it. How do you do it? With the confessions of your mouth, with you writing it down. That's what Hezekiah did. He presented the case of the accusation of the enemy before God. Look at what they are saying. We're going to do the same thing. And we're going to reverse the plan of the enemy, because this March is my month of victory. Amen? Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your many blessings. And we declare in the authority of your name that we are head and not tail, above only and never beneath. For you have called us, and that which, O God, comes from above is above all. Therefore, this day, in the name of Jesus Christ, we declare, O God, that this month and every month hence, Lord, O God, will be a testament of the victorious life that you have sentenced us to. You have made us more than conquerors. We can never be defeated. No plans of the enemy can succeed against us. For Lord, O God, we are hidden in Christ, hidden in God. Father, we thank you, Lord, that because we are hidden in Christ, hidden in the Father, that the enemy will have to go through you, have to go through Jesus Christ to reach us. But Lord, oh God, nothing can defeat you. You are the God who sees all things, knows all things, everywhere present. And Lord, oh God, you supersede in every realm. So Lord, oh God, we rest, oh God, in spite of all of the strategizings of the enemy. We rest to God in your goodness, declaring this day that we are in our turnaround experience. Things are turning around. We have gone around the corner, and now it's upwards only, forward only. Jesus is Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, let us take our communion together. When the Lord had the Last Supper, he said to Judas, go do what you need to do quickly. He exposed the enemy. Others did not know, but he exposed the enemy. But it was because he was going to fulfill his destiny, his divine mandate. And that mandate was for him to take our place so that we can take his place. Amen? Hallelujah. He came and became man so that we can experience the God kind of life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So this day, take of this body, and as you eat, declare a reversal. If you know it well, before Jesus hung on that cross, Judas was already hanging. But Jesus did not stay on that cross. He went and he set the captives free. May the grace to set the captives free come and rest upon our lives. Take and eat in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin and all unrighteousness. May the justifying presence of God cause us to be justified because we've been called, we've been predestined. And now the glory of God comes upon our lives. The Word of God says, we all sin and fell short of the glory of God. But thank God that He paid the price. And because the price has been paid, glory is now restored unto us. As you take off this cup, receive the grace of God's glory on your life for good success in every area. Take and drink in remembrance of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now we're going to do the final thing that we're going to do. We're going to release that which God has placed in our hands. We're going to release it to the Lord. And as we release it, we are going to expect that God will multiply our seed sown. That's what He wants to do. Multiply, increase the seed that He's given to us. So let us do so right now. Just honor God with your giving. Let His name be glorified. May victory be established in every area of our lives. Hallelujah. Whatever the challenges are, see it as your opportunity to be victorious. The devil is not going to have the last laugh. You are. Amen? It's you that will celebrate. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Haman may have had two banquets, but you know it's going to be celebration time for years. You know, with a king like Ahasuerus, he's going to find every reason to throw a party. So shall God find all kinds of reasons to cause you to celebrate. Amen? He'll cause us to be triumphant always. It is so done. Enjoy the goodness of the Lord. And we'll see you. Tomorrow is Friday, prayer meeting. So be here for prayer meeting tomorrow night. And love you and celebrate you in the Lord Jesus. God bless. Love you guys. Amen. Do we have anyone?